Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to Scaling the Gap. Today, I have such a cool guest joining us that I cannot wait to share with you. He has a really impressive pedigree all of his own and has worked beside a name that I'm sure many, many, many of you will know, but I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'm going to let him share all about that with you. He is a phenomenal speaker and also a fellow author and has been guest on many, many podcasts. So I am so delighted to welcome you to the show, Chris Robinson. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Madeline. Thanks so much for having me here. I'm excited to be on here with you today.
Well, it is truly my honor. So why don't you share a little bit with our audience about who you are and the work you do in this world?
Yeah, so my name is Chris Robinson. I'm the Executive Vice President of Maxwell Leadership Certified Team. We certify coaches, speakers, and trainers all around the world. In fact, we've certified over 58,000 members since 2011. I started out as one of those members, just like everyone that's being certified. I came into the program with a goal, a dream, a desire to impact people's lives through coaching, speaking, and training. And I came into the program and just utilized the tools, the resources that they had, took on the mentorship, embraced the community, and was able to build a successful speaking, coaching, training business. And then in 2016, they actually asked me to become part of the teaching faculty for the Maxwell Leadership Certified Team, which was great. And then 2 years later, I became the faculty president. And then in 2020, I was actually asked to be vice president of the organization when we had the hand changing of the founder to Mark Cole. And so it's been an incredible ride for these past 5 years, for sure, navigating the whole ecosystem versus just being a member. So it's been a blast. I love doing it each and every single day, getting the opportunity to just add value to people.
I love that. And you've seen some dynamic changes and being able to look at it from the landscape of emerging coach, speaker, trainer, now to being in leadership of a pretty significant organization.
That's the largest leadership training company on the planet.
Pretty cool. So that's a really awesome journey. And I'm sure it gives you a lot of care, compassion, insight into the journey of the people who you serve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It 100% does. And I mean, that's primarily why I think I was selected for the role. It wasn't a role that I applied for and said, hey, let me put in an application for this. I was selected by John and Mark to do this role because they felt I most embodied what it meant to be a Maxwell member. From the way that I lived, from the way that I implemented the tools and resources, the way that I engaged in the community. And so when looking at taking this role, because I had been successfully unemployed for, you know, a decade, and to look at, you know, coming to work for somebody, you know, one of the main things I looked at was, well, what does this role require of me? Mm-hmm. And what it required of me was for me to turn up the volume on me. It wasn't asking me to do any of this other stuff that I didn't want to do, but turn up the volume, be Chris Robinson to the people that you lead, and that's what we need you to do. Yeah. And so I've taken that. I've embraced it every single day. I wake up trying to figure out how can I make things easier for coaches, speakers, and trainers? What resources can we give them? How can we create better environments? How can we make greater events? I mean, every single day, because I was a member first, and my heart bleeds for the members.
I love that. I love that so much. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, maybe my audience knows, maybe they don't, one of the founders of the Maxwell Leadership, is it Institute?
No, Maxwell Leadership Certified Team.
Certified team. There we go. Institute Certified Team. I knew I was. Is that one of the founders? I'm sure so many of our listeners have read books. Yeah. And you got the personal insight from John Maxwell himself.
Yeah.
So I would love a little peek behind that curtain, share a little bit about what it was like to work alongside of, first of all, you know, to be mentored by, and then to work alongside of someone that many of us have only met through his writing.
Yeah, well, I think I started out like most people. I started my journey being mentored by John Maxwell on a VHS tape in the basement of a church. I would go inside of a classroom and I would watch this VHS of John Maxwell, and I would go back into the workplace and I would apply all the principles that I was learning. And that's what initially helped me get promoted on jobs that I was working. Mm-hmm. And then when I joined the team, because now I'm in the room with John. So I go from VHS to now I'm in the room and I'm still learning from a distance. But as I kept showing up and kept continuing to add value to the community. I remember I was probably the first time I knew John knew my name was I was in Paraguay. We take what's called transformation trips where we're invited to the country by the president of that country to help them transform their country through value-based roundtables. And one of the trips I went on, I'm in line getting my food and John is about two people down and he's like, "Hey, Chris, how's it going?" I didn't have a name tag on or anything. You know? I'm like, "Yes, John knows me. John knows me.
I have arrived. I have arrived." Yeah, that's fantastic.
You know, but from there, it was in 2016, so 10 years ago, they started personally mentoring me and pouring into my life and having that proximity. I mean, I just did a very long one-day mentoring with him a couple months ago. I traveled to the country of Cambodia last year with him, which actually was the impetus of my book. We had an incredible time in Cambodia. We met the president of Cambodia, and you got to understand, I'm going, you know, how in the world did I end up in this room with the president?
And this is pinching yourself.
Yeah, you know, and this isn't the first president that I've met with John Maxwell, but here I am sitting going, "Oh my goodness, this is incredible." But it was all because of mentorship, personal growth, and proximity that opens up these doors. And so John really is, you know, I guess, you know, I've been around a lot of authors, speakers, coaches, and celebrities around. And sometimes we read their books and we go, "Oh my goodness, I love their books." And then we meet them. And you go, "Oh, I love their books. I love their books."
Period. Full stop on that.
Right. Yeah. You know,
just the writer.
Right. You know, but John, I can say that out of all of the people that I've been around, he's got the closest margin between who he is on stage and who he is off stage.
Wow.
That's my greatest aspiration, is to be the same person on stage as I am when you meet me in person off the stage. And I don't want there to be a gap there.
I love that. And that kind of harkens back to what you were evaluating when you made the leap from, you know, successfully unemployed into employment again, which was turning up the volume on yourself, right? The more fully, authentically, transparently yourself you are, the less you need to perform on stage as a totally separate entity to yourself. Yeah. That's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. Thank you for that. It's beautiful. Yeah. So you casually dropped in a little word that we wanted to zero in on, which is your book. Yeah, so you have a book called From Drift to Drive.
Yeah.
A little bit with that, with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about this book. This has been an incredible journey writing this book. It's really a book about complacency.
Mm.
Now, I know when people hear the word, you might immediately shrug your shoulders off and go, "Well, no, I'm driven. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a builder. I'm not complacent." And I promise you, if you call 100 people that know me and said, "Hey, is Chris Robinson complacent?" 99 out of 100 would say, "Absolutely not. There's no way Chris is complacent." But what I redefine complacency as in the book is as a secret place of satisfactory success.
Mm.
Now, when we begin to look at complacency that way, we all have a place where we are good at something and we haven't gone back to work on it. We're great at something, but it really doesn't require much of us anymore, and good is good enough. So you see it throughout companies, you see it throughout organizations. Well, this is the way we do it. This is how we always done it. And so what I want to do in this book is really attack what complacency is, and then how do we go and get back in motion? You know, and so I have a 7-step framework inside the book where I walk you through with practical application and tools of how to overcome that cycle of complacency wherever it is in your life. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, good can be the enemy of great. I mean, sometimes when you're getting going, good enough has to be good enough. And you just have to go. Good enough is good enough. Let's get going. But when you accidentally let good enough become the standard and you never sharpen that edge to get to that place of greatness, to get to that place of excellence, to get that place of genius, right? To take that forward momentum. And it sounds like you're looking for that little inner place of, it's not that you've settled, it's that you've just allowed that baseline of good enough to be that, to be, like just to stand, instead of using it as a baseline from which to grow, you've just let it be the final resting point. And those little subtle places.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's because, you know, the gap between your good and your potential is still really great. It's still really great.
Yeah.
But what happens is you can go from, on a scale of 1 to 10, you can go from 0 to 8 at something that you're good at, and it can be good at an 8.
Sure.
But it gets very, very difficult to get that last 20%.
Sure.
And I think that's where a lot of people make that choice to just kind of settle and say good is good enough. Yeah. And we let it go, but there's more potential there. So where it was prompted was when I was in Cambodia with John Maxwell, I had spoke on stage that day. We spoke to about 2,500 people. The only two speakers on the agenda was me and John Maxwell.
Nice.
And I mean, I prepared for the presentation.
Sure.
But, you know, I went in there, I was speaking with an interpreter, so I have a speak a couple sentences, they say a couple sentences. We had a slide deck that day, and, you know, I get on stage and things begin to go wrong. In most countries when I speak with a different language, English is on one side, the native language is on another. Mm-hmm. And in this particular language, their language has to go above any other language.
Ah.
So there wasn't two screens. Okay. There was one screen. And it looked like somebody had just took it, all the letters, and just threw them up in the air and landed on my slides. But that's fine. I can navigate through this. I'm a pro. Sure. I've done this before. And then the remote begins to not work. And you got to navigate through that. So your timing is...
Sure, is off, right?
Plus, I'm speaking with an interpreter. And in this language, it was a lot of popping and bopping sounds. So, you know, a little bit longer than our word. You know, afterwards, you know, I get done and there's a long line of people and they're telling me how great it was and how they were impacted, how this is what they needed. And so, you know, I thought, you know, I got by the average ear.
Sure.
Well, at dinner time, I get to the table with John and we're sitting there and there's probably about five other people at the table and I've got my notepad and pen out as I always do with John because you never want to miss those moments.
This moment,
you never want to miss these moments. So I said to John, hey, could you give me some feedback on my talk today? It's been a little while since you've seen me speak and just give me some feedback on what you saw today. And he began to list out one thing, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Oh, okay. Harsh reality was it.
Right. Reality
says here.
And then now the table thinks it's a brainstorming session. So they all begin to jump in and tell me all these things. And then as I looked at the list that night, what I realized was that no one said anything that I did not know.
Mm.
I can tell you that I prepared more for a Chamber of Commerce event when I was first starting than I did for speaking in front of 2,500 people in Cambodia. And what happened was I'd begin to drift because I speak every single week. And so it doesn't take me a ton of preparation, but it was beginning to allow for me to drift. And so what I did was I began to jump back in, dive into like, oh my goodness, I've got to improve my communication skills. I've got to go back to the foundation. I've got to go back and, you know, pay the price again in order to try to get another 1-3% better in order to improve. And that's where I began to implement the 7-step framework that I've used to achieve everything I really believe that I've done is following this framework. And so that's what's inside the book.
I love it. You know, I was having a chat the other day with someone and it reminds me so much of this that, you know, when you are a beginner, right? Let's say you just started your company and you did your first 100 grand. Well done, right? You can go from 100 grand to 200 grand in a snap, right? So you can double your business. When you've done 30 million, going from 30 million to 60 million is not the snap, double your business.
It's not a snap.
Right? So you have to think about, yes, you can drive exponential growth when you're small. You can grow exponentially, but it's winning by the inches when you get bigger, when you get better, when you get further in your craft, when you have to refine. And sometimes it can feel like, is this the law of diminishing returns?
Right.
Is it worth the effort it's going to take me to gain that extra inch?
Yeah.
Is it worth the effort? And you really have to think about where are you settling, right? That complacency.
Right.
Is it coming from complacency or where else are you expending your effort? Where else are you sharpening your skills? that you don't have the time for it over here.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, and hearing that feedback now, again, you have to understand that John Maxwell's been speaking for 50 years.
Right.
And so my talk that day could bypass the masses, but who I was getting feedback from, talking about a top 1% of the 1% of trained ears of communicators. And so he's going to catch things that the average person just isn't going to catch.
For sure.
But again, it's, are you going to pay the price to get that extra 1, 2, 3, 5%?
Yeah.
Once you make it over 80. I love it.
That's right. It's that once you make it over 80, right? When you get that elite performance, we always tell our clients that only 1% of business owners make it over $10 million.
Yeah.
Only 1%, right? That is an elite, elite group.
Yeah.
So who you get your advice from after that place matters.
Indeed.
What type of frameworks you apply matters, right? So it's the same exact thing, right?
Yep,
you already made that 80%. You've been there for a long time. You had drifted, right? And maybe you were 80. You know, when someone doesn't even know the difference between an 80% performer and 20% performer, you got a lot of slack. You got a lot of room you can play in. But when you're speaking to someone who knows the difference between an 80% performer and a 90% performer, it's a wildly different paradigm.
It is.
Well, I love that. Thank you for sharing that story. It's a pretty vulnerable moment, right? Getting by one of the goats over there in the speaking and professional development, so many different aspects of excellence over in the Maxwell community. So thank you for that.
I try to stay vulnerable as possible to let people see the roughness of it. In fact, after that, you know, as I began to go back in to get coaching, I actually worked with Michael Jr., the comedian. And Michael was on a Zoom coaching me as we watched video of me give feedback, and then actually played that for our members to see them see me getting coached by a top 1%er. And I think that when you are vulnerable and you do share, and hey, look, I'm still growing just like each and every single person, it truly, truly adds value to people and helps, you know, inspire them to just keep going.
Right.
If you want to get better.
Yeah. I think about it as getting taken down off of the pedestal, right? Because when you're the one with the microphone, when you're the one standing on the stage, when you're the author, when you're the authority in the room, you're naturally placed on a pedestal. And a pedestal is a dangerous place to be, right? Because there's only one direction to go, but it's actually bad for the person who put you there too, because it makes you unrelatable and they can only see that your excellence. They can only see that little bit that's above the tip of the iceberg, right? The part that's not submerged in the water, and they can underestimate what it takes, and they can then misjudge their own progress and their own progression by your highlight reel, because they don't know, you know, the decades of work that went into it,
and
the number of sessions and the number of so on and so on and so on that it took to get there, right? So I think that's super important to pull yourself down off the pedestal to say, hey, here's the truth. I am also a learner. And if you want to be the best at what you do, you have to be in those similar shoes of taking the heart of a learner.
Yeah. And John Maxwell, he really teaches us that, is that success is a separator. And, you know, never do we want to be on stage only talking about success, because that creates that wall and that separation. Yeah. And what we want to do is we want to put adding value to people, you know, success at whatever level they want, on the lower shelf. It's where it's attainable and achievable by everyone that wants to.
I love that. Success is a separator. I love it. I love it. And it's hard to be able to take advice from someone who does not feel relatable to you, right?
Yeah,
where they're so far above your capacity that you think, well, that's good for them. But you know, here I am in my average everyday life where, you know, my cat just barked on the carpet and that made me mad. Right? Like, you know, it's that humanity component that's so beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I love all this. So I am so curious. I know we talked about some of the highs and the lows in your book journey, more the vulnerable moment that catalyzed you towards writing it, and this beautiful trajectory that you have been on just in your own career and in passing value down through the organization that you're now part of the leadership team of. So it's super, super cool. In looking back in a little bit of retrospective for someone who might be in those early stages of building their own business, no, they're not a speaker, they're not a coach or consultant, they're more on the home service, home improvement side of the world. Is there anything that you would say, you know, here's one of the things that either I receive value from when a mentor told me, or something that you would tell them as they look at this mountain still to climb ahead of them?
Yeah, you know, I love this particular question because I really outline this in the book, you know, no matter what profession in this framework. But a couple key components in this, in the seven-step framework, is mentoring and coaching, all right? And then relationships, people that are like-minded going in that same direction. And I would not be doing what I'm doing today without paying for coaching, but then also serving for coaching, because I believe that everyone out there needs to be in proximity to someone that's doing what it is that they want to do. And so there's two ways to get a mentor in your life. It's either seek to serve, all right, or pay to play. It's not, hey, Madeline, I see that you're helping a bunch of business owners. Can I pick your brain for coffee? It's, hey, Madeline, you know, hey, do you have a program? Do you have something that I can pay you for so that I can invest in proximity with you? Or it's, Madeline, I don't have any money, but how can I add value to Madeline? And what does she need that I can do that would get me proximity to her? I can tell you one of my very first mentors in the speaking world was as a result of me picking up the phone, calling every speaker in the St. Louis area that I could find and saying, hey, my name is Chris Robinson. I'm looking to find out more about professional speaking. If there's any event that I can serve you at, let me know. Now, I called every single speaker that listed themselves as speakers.
Sure.
Now, nobody called me back. And I was disheartened, you know, because I'm like, I'm trying to come do something for you for free, you know.
I'm trying to give. I can't even give it away.
Right. But a couple days later, I got a call back from the lady, and she said, well, Chris, it was very nice of you to offer that. I don't have anything now, but if something comes up, I'll let you know. Well, a few days later, she calls back again. She says, hey, Chris, my cameraman has canceled. Would you come to my event and be my cameraman? And I said, absolutely. Now, Madeline, I didn't know anything about cameras. I didn't know anything about what I'm doing. But I showed up there and I served her all day long. And I wasn't there going, hey, can I pick your brain now or anything of that nature? Sure. I went there with the pure heart and the pure motive to just serve her. Now, I was prepared because at lunchtime when she said, Chris, you served me so well. Do you have any questions that I can answer for you? I pull out my notepad and my pen.
Yes, I do.
List of 25 questions. Yes. But that mentor became a great mentor of mine, still a great friend of mine today, but it was from seeking to serve. And so for anyone out there that you're in a service industry business, guess what? There's coaches that can serve, that you can invest to be a part of their community or their coaching. Do that. There are people that are being coached by others or that's further along than you that you could go and serve to figure out how they do things. But get proximity of the right people that are moving the same direction of you, and then get some coaching and mentoring. I mean, come on, reach out to Madeline. She helps people.
That's exactly right. We've got a fantastic team here to serve you. Love it. Thank you for that. Great plug. Appreciate it. So wonderful. I love that. I love that if you can't pay for it, be of service and it will come to you. And also, lest you in the audience have missed this, he called every single person and got one maybe. And then that maybe turned into a quote job offer for $0 of repayment to do a job he had no expertise in.
Correct.
So, I mean, just, I always think that people miss opportunity because it doesn't show up the way they think it's going to look.
That's correct.
And they think that this effort is going to equal that. And it doesn't. Right. This effort equals this kind of adjacent thing that's semi-related and that eventually gets you there, right? And pathway, that squirrely pathway can be a deterrent for people because they don't see it. Right. So I'm actually working on my second book, too. So my second nonfiction book, I've got a children's book and then my Tenacious Pursuit of Peace, Where to Go When Success is Not Enough, which, of course, I'll send you a copy, is I'm working on another one. And one of the stories in it is story of a very ambitious, hardworking guy who really worked for an opportunity. And what the opportunity ended up being was a high priority, high visibility opportunity in about a, let's say, $20, $25 million company. But It meant you had to work extra on the weekend. It meant you had to put in extra hours. It meant all these extra, extra, extra things. And on the very first day, he did not show up for his weekend. And he missed the opportunity entirely. And it's because opportunity shows up so often, it's hard work. Yeah. And you have to be willing to put in the effort to achieve the outcome you desire.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen any other way.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, I love this. Well, I just have one more question for you before we wrap it up. And I love the kind of tangents related to success that we have chatted through. So the question I always ask, and my loyal listeners know all too well where we're going to go with this. So given all of this trajectory you've been on, the presidents you've had the opportunity to meet, the community that you've been serving and been part of for all these years, Chris, do you consider yourself to be successful?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I mean, if I look at my background of where I came up, both my parents were blue-collar workers working for General Motors, and everything that I've been able to see, everything that I've been able to achieve, the amount of people that I've been able to help and impact, I 100% today feel as if I'm a success and that I've succeeded. Now, again, my success is good, but the gap between my good and my potential is still great, and I'm still striving for it every single day.
That's so cool. So every time people chat about what success means to them, I quickly jot down their own little personal success algorithm. Because for me, the dynamics of what each individual looks at in terms of success and describes gives such an interesting texture to the conversation. So I created one for you on the fly here. We'll see how we do. There might be some components we got to add that didn't get added in all the way. So we'll shot, and then we'll rinse and refine a little bit. So for Chris Robinson,
there we go.
Success algorithm equals the capacity to help and impact, the ability to have, I would say, almost life-changing experiences.
Yeah.
Because that, you know, the what I've seen part is where I'm getting that from.
Right.
And then daily commitment to close the gap between what's good and my potential.
Yeah. Hey, that's Chris Robinson.
We nailed it pretty hard on the first one. I will take it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I mean, I love that daily commitment to closing the gap.
Yeah.
Because that's a commitment most people won't take.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that's so, I know that is a part of the ingredients of success is daily commitment. So I always use the phrase, every day that ends in day, do something towards your goal. And I even do this with my son, and I've got 6 kids. We've got a triplets, twins, and a single.
Woo! But I love that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
3, 2, 1. Did it go in the order of triplets?
No, it's a 3, 1, 2. 3, 1, 2.
Okay. All right. I was wondering if you would like.
But the single, you know, he plays baseball, and I mean, he loves baseball. But one of the things that I have him do, and it's worked with my older two for track and cross country, but every single day that ends in day, he has to do something with baseball. Either it's reading, watching videos, batting or fielding, and then he has to journal it down every single day. Now, when he doesn't do something, it's okay, but what I ask him to do, which drives him wild, I mean, he will run out the door and go do something. I have to wait till the next day, but what I have him do is, if he didn't do anything that day, I have him write down this statement: I did nothing.
Oh.
And when you have to... And when you have to face the stark reality in your own handwriting that you say that you want this, but you did nothing towards it today, there's an awakening that happens.
Yeah.
The urgency that kicks in. And so I do that with them, but I encourage all, you know, as you're going through and you're fixated on your goal, your dream, your vision, every single day that ends in day, do something towards it. And if you don't, write down, tell yourself the truth: I did nothing.
I love it. I love that you say, tell yourself the truth, because who's reading it, right? It's you. You're reading it. That's for your own benefit, to hold yourself accountable and to say, listen, I chose to do nothing. I chose not to invest in myself. I chose not to move the ball down the field. I just sat at the sidelines.
I did nothing.
And sometimes the commitment I have found, the commitment to today I took a break, is a different choice to intentionally choose today I am resting. Today I rested is very different than today I did nothing. I chose not to do it. I knew I should have and I didn't versus I took a break on purpose. There's an important distinction between the two. The I did nothing is different choice than I made a commitment to rest. That is so important. Rest is important, but you can't rest every day.
That's correct. That's correct.
You got to do something.
That's the thing, too. You got to do something. And that's the thing. It literally is something. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be, you know, that you've got to spend an hour a day of doing this or 2 hours. But hey, did you listen to an audio today on the direction you want to go? Did you read 5 pages on a book in a direction that you want to go? Do something is all I'm asking every single day that ends in day.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, this has been such a fantastic chat, and I feel like we should leave it there. I want our listeners to really be willing to hold themselves to the accountability level that you hold your child. I did nothing on the days when you did not move the ball down the field towards the achievement of your goals. I mean, can you get clearer with yourself? I really don't think that that's a pretty bold statement. And I think that we should mic drop it right there. Let that sit in people's hearts and see who is willing on your own journal to journal it down and say, I did nothing today to achieve my dreams. Because we all have dreams. We all have visions. We all have goals. We hope. I mean, gosh, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't have a vision, a dream, a goal, you need to immediately email me, immediately, because it's paramount. So I look at it as you have to be able to know it's available to you, have to be able to dream it. Then you have to be able to set the intention to do it. Then you have to set the goal to achieve it. And then you have to build the plan to make it happen, right? Dreams, intentions, goals, and plans, right? You have to be somewhere in that paradigm in order to be able to magnetize the things that you want into your reality. So if you don't, urgently reach out, Madeline@ProQSystems.com, urgently, because it's mandatory. But for those of you who do have your dreams, intentions, goals, and plans, commit to the action and consider for yourself where you might be resting in that place of complacency where good has become good enough and you are not taking that extra effort to increase by the 1%, to increase by the 2%, and to move every day closer to your dreams. Chris, thank you for being a fantastic guest.
Thank you.
If people want to find out more, if people want to reach you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so that's at chrisrobinsonspeaker.com, and then the book is at drifttodrivebook.com.
Awesome. We will link those in the show notes. Thank you again for all of your nuggets of wisdom and for the beautiful stories and for all of the inspiration that you've provided today. We so appreciate it. We're so looking forward to hearing more from you and reading that book ourselves.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much, Chris. And for those of you listening at home, catch you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit ProQSystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McCray, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.